Howdy, everyone. Welcome back to a beatboxing episode of Texas, the show about some things Texas.
And some things childhood memories of watching Doug.
We've got a great accent heavy episode, not story, in store for you today. But first, before we get to anything else.
Tito's and Shiner, gonna be an all-nighter. And I just might find her at the Whataburger line. Dance halls and women, but man, I'm wishing that I was fishing by the river tonight in Texas.
Our not sponsors, your favorite segment.
And ours.
We still have no money from any of them. We have some affiliate links for some of them.
Coming up soon.
Check those out.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to get any money from that either. But they don't sponsor us. They give us zero money, zero shout outs. Some of them are probably going to sue us. Lots of fun. Our not sponsors. Seth, who is our first not sponsor for today's episode?
Our first not sponsor is Day Drinking.
Day drinking.
It's your favorite activity of your stepdad. It's day drinking. It's what we all have in common with frat bros. We all love day drinking. It's the best way to spend a Sunday until you gotta wake up on Monday. It's day drinking. It's I don't have a problem, I'm day drinking.
It's I'm not sad, I'm just day drinking. It's I was good at football when I was 15. It's day drinking. We're on the golf course, baby.
Day drinking. It's I got fired from my job today, I'm day drinking.
What's your go-to day drink?
My go-to day drink is usually a, like, not a light beer, but a light alcohol beer. Okay. So, like, something in the 3% range.
Kolsch, gotcha. You know, those like a Utah like type a, of
or,
beer.
Or honestly, the official drink of Texas, ranch water.
Ranch water
is a great day drink.
Do you like the pre-made ranch waters?
I hate them. They're so all gross. Terrible.
So gross. So what's your go-to ranch water concoction? How are you putting it together?
It's a simple drink.
But everybody's got their nuances.
Yeah. So if I have my druthers, and I often do.
Yeah.
I take the topo.
Okay.
Pop the top.
Yeah.
Drink out about, you know, a third of it.
Uh-huh.
Do my, like, I do 1 ounce of tequila.
Yeah.
Blanco is preferred.
Yeah.
And always. Then, like, half an ounce of lime juice. Ooh. And that tends to be my favorite mix.
So good.
One of the original, like, ranch water purveyors, like, who does a high volume of these in San Antonio, they add a spicy jalapeno simple.
Ooh.
And it's really good.
I bet.
Like,
that,
it's so good.
Opens up the nasal pathways.
Yeah. Just a little bit. Just like a sousson.
A juge. Over there. Nice. Yeah, I'm pretty much similar. I'll take a whole lime and slice really thin, because the Topo Chico top.
So usually if you're a bartender, you go 8 slices out of a lime. If you're going to, if you're gonna do the topo slices, you do 16.
So I do basically that, and I put like 10 of those into
and as you
one
as you
bottle.
Do it, you squirt it as you squeeze it.
Yeah. So it's just all going in there, and then I do tequila last. So like a little, so it gets
whatever.
Some of that juice.
Yeah,
and then a little swirl. Then I go out by the water.
Yeah.
Drink my ranch water.
And you definitely don't drive a boat.
I do not drive a boat.
Don't drive
a boat. Dude, everyone driving a boat is either drunk or 15. There's
no in between.
There's no in between.
Sometimes there's overlap.
There's a Venn diagram, and sometimes there's some Westlake punk 15-year-old that's like, my dad bought the
boat. Getting trashed on seltzers.
Yeah. On like White Claw, basically. Getting trashed on O'Doul's.
Meanwhile, Dean Stanfield's just like tugboating away.
Dean Stanfield might be the only guy I know that can like not own a jet ski and still rescue me on a jet ski.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, yeah, exactly.
I could be drowning at Devil's Cove and Dean Stanfield can zoom in on a jet ski that he found.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, what's up, guys?
Let's go.
What's up, boys? Yeah. He's actually made her. I love him.
I miss him too, man.
Such a good guy. Want to hear about our other not sponsor?
Who's our other not sponsor, guy?
Our other not sponsor for today's episode of Tech-ish is Scripture Tattoos.
Scripture tattoos.
Were you good at football in high school?
Scripture tattoos.
Can you please quote Philippians 4:12 and 4:14?
Scripture tattoos.
She said she was going to be a missionary, but now she's a nanny.
Scripture tattoos.
tattoos. I can do all things through Christ who gives me black ink and very big biceps.
Scripture tattoos.
Why is your Hebrew word written with Greek letters?
Scripture tattoos. Tell me you were saved halfway through life with a
scripture tattoo.
Tell me that you had a phase.
Scripture tattoos.
Scripture tattoos. You got a lot for this one.
I actually wrote stuff down.
I can tell. I can always tell when you've written things down.
Because they're better.
They're longer. Because they're a little longer, and I just kind of go, cool.
Are they worse?
No, they are better.
Okay, when I don't write them down, I'm trying to find what I'm saying as I'm saying
it. I'm torn because we always like freeball these. We always freestyle.
Yeah,
these.
We always riff penises.
Yeah, we all riff.
Yeah, it's so fun. And it's not that I'm writing it down word for word. Yeah. I've just found if I come in and I have the idea, but I haven't organized my thoughts, I'll start mixing them. Mm-hmm. So then I'm not saying any. I found myself not saying anything.
Right.
Whereas now it's more concise because I've thought it through.
I
should be a writer.
Yeah. Well, we're on strike right now.
Well, we are. We're on strike too.
Hopefully the strike
because
is over.
Because if you listen to the last episode, you know that we discovered the truth that studio heads are dorks and writers are alphas. Writers are awesome.
Writers are the alphas.
I'm retracting every statement I've made about writers because I am realizing
you're writing. Also a writer. Yeah. Like, that's funniest part for me, like watching on the sideline is you're basically like,
thanks for giving me perspective that whole time.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks.
You're basically like the mascot yelling at his own team. You know, that was you. you were like chucking plastic cups at the quarterback.
It's like literally I was throwing a tennis ball against a wall and it was hitting me in the face.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I'm playing dodgeball and pegging my own team.
It's like if Pete Sampras like cut the strings to his own racket.
Throwback.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. It's like if John McEnroe started yelling through a microphone where their speaker was facing him.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I bet he probably.
He probably does that.
John McEnroe probably.
Have you seen the videos of him playing pickleball?
Shout out the Picklecast.
Dink Pickle something.
Whatever.
They're so handsome. They're cool guys.
They're tan and nice.
So everyone knows that dig was at them specifically because they're friends.
They are friends.
They're great.
They tolerate our ridiculousness.
There are videos now of McEnroe playing pickleball and losing his mind
as he would when he was
but
is he good at pickle like
he's,
I don't
know yeah of course okay, he's yeah, good yeah. He's one of the best tennis players ever.
Well, I don't know if it translates.
It translates but like the ball will go out or it's just something will happen
whatever
and he loses his mind and it's just hilarious because you think he's done. You think that's past him. And it's
but
like,
it's not. It's just like, oh, that's just who he is.
That is like truly just who
could
he
be,
is.
He could be playing chess and like flip the board.
Yeah, because he won.
Right.
I mean, he is the David Goggins of tennis.
I don't know. I think McEnroe's more likable.
I mean, I think he's also harder. Anyway.
Probably. We could go off on that.
I'm going to apologize one more time.
Okay.
Writers are awesome. I was wrong. I was wrong in my joking, in my humor.
I'm just going to clip out that. I was wrong part.
I mean, we can put it across probably 80% of the things I've ever said on this podcast. Here's a list of everything.
I mean, me too.
Here, roll the credits. Here's a list of everything I've been wrong about in the last year and a half.
Dude, we don't have time in the studio for that. Put the little like...
Mostly wrong about writers are awesome.
A lot of things.
They work very hard. Yeah. I mean, we're not in the fact category. We are in the comedy category.
Which people tend to forget.
A lot of people don't even notice. Did you notice what I did on our SEO? Like our actual show title?
I did, yeah, yeah.
Texas Comedy Podcast.
I was going to ask you about that and be like, is this on purpose?
So it's on purpose for two reasons.
Okay.
The main reason is I noticed that Are You Garbage? Have you listened to Are You Garbage?
Yeah. I like it. It's a great show.
It's a
really great show.
Especially because a lot of the comedy podcasts have turned into two guys just riffing and talking. Yeah. I like that they found they also might be the only guys to ever try three podcasts before getting to the one that works.
Hey, man, it's inspiring.
Very inspiring. Yeah. But it's Are You Garbage? Comedy Podcast. And I realized, that actually works with the algorithm if you have comedy podcasts in your title. So I put it there for that reason.
Okay.
But also so that anyone who stumbles upon us and before they can,
sure,
DM us or get really mad. It's like, it is in bold letters, comedy podcast. So,
dude, that's hilarious.
You know, covering our bases.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Here's behind the scenes work. I would play the tape on everything I was wrong about, but like, we legitimately just don't have time.
There's not enough time. Yeah, we have a time limit. Yeah. We only have 45 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. It would take about
it would be everything we've ever said except for our Greg Abbott jokes,
basically. Pretty much. The Greg Abbott jokes, I stand by those. Even if he can't.
What? We're unhinged.
That one wasn't even that funny. I just liked it.
I was like, someone's gonna do it.
I like that whenever we set up the Greg Abbott joke, somebody's gonna do it.
I always imagine Allison just being like, "No comment."
I know, right? No comment.
Oh yeah, you work there. you work in that building. So
yeah, yeah.
What happened?
Once upon a time! When was it? 1874.
Early.
In 1874, people gathered in Austin, Texas to watch the inauguration of the new Democratic governor, Coke. Unfortunately, E.J. Davis did not want to give it up. So despite winning easily by a 2-1 margin, Davis cited this obscure...
For those who aren't good at math, 2-1 means double.
Yeah. So he cites this obscure Supreme Court rule and is like, the election was rigged. I'm not giving it up.
Sounds familiar.
It does sound familiar, doesn't it?
Clearly, this is not a new problem.
So the Davis Democrats swarmed the old Capitol building and occupied the first level.
Again.
Sounds familiar. Sounds pretty familiar. This happened on January 12th, though, so... There was some separation.
Yeah.
So, clearly, the Koch Democrats and the Davis Democrats were at war.
At least it was infighting. What were the Republicans doing?
Chilling. They lost. So, like,
we're going to be at the Koch room.
So, like. David, one of the reasons Davis fought so hard is he thought he had presidential support.
Okay.
President Grant was presiding at the time.
Yeah.
So he wrote the Texas, he wrote Grant, was like, hey, send U.S. troops to support my lawful win. Yeah. And so he occupies the old Capitol building while the Koch Democrats are like keeping them out of the rest of the building. And they're kind of trapped. So they're at this stalemate.
Yeah.
And it takes like five days.
Like the Koch Democrats can't get out. Because they're not on the first floor. And the Davis Democrats can't go up.
And I guess they're not leaving. So... What happens is,
where's this office place comedy?
I know, right? So the Texas Attorney General writes to Davis on behalf of President Grant.
Okay.
Saying, the president in no uncertain terms does not recognize your victory and will not be sending U.S. support.
I also love that this was at a time where the president in a situation like this could be like,
No.
Not going to deal with this. Because now they have to do and say something about everything. Uh-huh. Back then, they could be like, what happened?
What? No.
No.
Who? Davis?
Who? Texas?
He's weird. I don't like him.
This is back when he could be like, you know, Texas is like 1,000 miles away, right? Like,
you know that if he gets mad at me, it's going to take months.
Also, he was probably like, look, Mexico can just have it back. If this crumbles.
This state is costing us so much money.
They've been here for 2 years.
And they are such a problem.
Little did he know how much money we would make.
Right?
Anyway.
I do like how Texas started off as a problem and has just stayed a problem.
We're a bit problematic. We're a little brother.
Texas, hashtag problematic.
But little brother.
Honestly.
We do and say rambunctious things. Yeah.
We're harmless. We're trying to get a rise.
Live without us.
I know, right?
You love us.
We
what would you do without us?
We
simultaneously push you toward greatness and pull you toward.
I just want everybody to think how the United States would look without Texas.
Yeah.
That's a weird map.
It's a weird gaping hole at the bottom.
You need that little tail.
Yeah, honestly, America would have a vagina without Texas.
I mean, yeah, a little bit.
It would be like this open.
Which is ironic because it would make them pussies.
That was good. That was a good one.
I think so.
Zing.
Zinger. Anyway, so Grant refuses to send troops and Davis withdraws.
And that's it.
And Coke takes over, which actually starts. So that the reason that's significant within Texas history is it
other than the fact that there was a hilarious insurrection
within the old Capitol building.
Yeah.
the reason that it's the most significant is it marks the end of Reconstruction in Texas.
Okay.
And a new era where the Koch Democrats would rule for like 100 years.
Nice.
Yeah.
Were these the Democrats that were more Republican than by today's standards?
Yeah.
Right? Do you understand that, by the way? Like how that...
How the flip happened?
Yeah. Because every... Like in history, it's like Southern Democrats were the racist ones.
Right.
Which doesn't make sense in the context of like what a Democrat is today.
So
what happened there?
I wish I could tell you exactly what happened, but then we would have to roll the credits.
Then we would have to roll more credits of like, here's
and as much as I, there's this thing in me that's like, just say it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It actually does matter.
Yeah.
And I do know that there was a point where the party, like,
the party somehow flipped.
Yeah, and I can't remember exactly why or when. So
do you
I think I'm gonna look it up and get back to you.
We'll look it up. But do you think it was partially because Democrats are traditionally for bigger government, more control.
Yeah.
Back when it was severely more racist than times are now.
Sure.
They wanted slaves and stuff and to be able to
stuff.
They wanted to be able to like keep, you know, kind of like laundry, the whites and the blacks separate. And so that was a horrible joke. They wanted that.
They wanted it, not us.
I'm just referring to history right now.
They were the racist ones.
And you think that is what made it like, okay, so Democrats wanted to control that, whereas Republicans were like, well, you shouldn't control that. Whether we're racist or not, like, that is too big government? Is that?
I think maybe.
Maybe. But I'm not wrong, right? There was a point where like Democrats seemed more like today's Republicans and Republicans seemed more like today's Democrats.
Yes.
What is going on? How does that happen?
I think it had something to do with the Civil War. I don't know for sure.
So, well, the Civil War wasn't about slavery.
No, of course not. Just ask our grandpa.
Just ask anyone over the age of 50.
Fair.
Who is like for small government.
Well, it's just, it's such a trite response, but it is true. When they're like, it wasn't about slavery. It was about states' rights. States' rights.
States' rights to own people of a specific lineage. Like what? Just say
I just like say it's oh my gosh. Anyway. Do you want to hear about our small town?
Yeah, I'm sorry that I'm just deflating you with all these uncomfortable topics.
I don't care. I don't have a job. Nobody can fire me for saying inflammatory things.
Fair point.
Where is it? Our small town of the week is located a little bit north of Amarillo.
Okay, Amarillo.
Dumas, Texas.
Dumas.
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 Dumas, which is why I picked it.
Yeah, because there's like five ways to say
There's like five ways to say it. Population roughly 14,000, a little bigger than most of our small towns.
Well, it's one of those small towns where if you go through the town, there's a grain silo, a gas station, and you wonder, where's the school?
Where are the people?
Where are those 14,000 people?
Yeah.
They're just dispersed.
They're just spread out. Yeah. Like, it's a pretty big county, so they are really dispersed. The school's like way back in, in the like...
There's no central location.
No, there's no central
when
anything.
There's 50 miles between every neighbor.
And my favorite part is whenever you're driving through it, you just go, I'm driving through dumbass Texas. The only like real claim to fame that I could find is that there is a song called I'm Your Ding Dong Daddy from Dumas.
Who sings that?
Some dude. I don't like some dude who theoretically was in the town when he wrote it.
Okay,
and wait. on the like Wikipedia page, it's like, but some people in Oklahoma also claim he was in Dumas, Oklahoma when he wrote it. So there's some contention.
But I also feel like you don't want to own that. Like,
yeah, I know, right?
For a song like that, I don't think you want to be like, no, he was in our town.
I didn't even listen to the song, so I can't tell you what it is. But that is the title of the song that was
The Ding Dong.
I'm Your Ding Dong Daddy from
Dumas. Your Ding Dong Daddy from... Let's break that down. What is a Ding Dong Daddy?
I don't know.
Like, what is that?
I'm assuming, and I'm... You know what they say about assuming?
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming
that... It makes a Dumas out of you and me.
There
out
you go.
Out of do and ass.
I'm assuming it's one of those, like... bluesy rock and roll songs that's like
I'm your ding dong daddy
that like vaguely implies that he's sleeping with somebody who's with somebody else.
Gotcha.
You know,
and he also has
another like that's his job, like he rings on the doorbell.
Dude, affairs were so normal.
They were much more common for sure.
Yeah, or were they, or are they still common?
I would assume they were more
or did we
common.
Just call it swinging now?
Like
Well, just every movie about the 50s, by definition,
has to be like secret, right?
Yeah.
Swinging is pretty above board.
It's pretty public.
It's pretty public.
Yeah.
It's like
wild.
It's pretty like agreed upon.
You know how we have those conversations where my Christian boy in me is like, what's happening?
What's happening right
when
now?
When people talk about swinging, I'm like, what do you mean?
Do people talk about swinging? I mean, you are in Fort Worth now.
So. Not in Fort Worth, but when I was in Austin, it was.
Well,
more.
If you're in Austin, it's not called swinging. It's called polyamory.
Yeah, which is the stupidest thing.
Just say you want
to. All right, roll the credits on everything wrong I've ever said about polyamory.
It's fine. It's fine. It's okay.
It's like you're just not like, polyamorous. You're just horny. Mm-hmm. Like
you're not polyamorous. You just can't commit.
Yeah, honestly.
Which is fine.
Which is fine. Just, you're not alone.
We just don't need more words.
Can
for
we
it.
Just call it that? Yeah. I was hanging out with some guys in Fort Worth, and it was
at a key party.
Not at a key party. It was actually at a church gathering for this church plant that we're very lucky to be a part of and to be part and like to get to join. And a guy was talking to a guy who's not sure about joining yet. And the dude made a joke like, well, he has a hard time with commitment. Mm-hmm. And the guy says, well, look, I hate my job. And it's the one thing that I'm stuck with. So I'm afraid to get stuck with anything else. And I was like, so you just described a problem that most people under 35 have.
Yeah.
Like you're not unique. That's just,
yeah, dude, that's just having a job.
You just describe like being in your 20s, I think. So,
man, there is that unfortunate thing where I guess everybody thinks they have to love their job.
Right. Well, I love that our dad.
Yeah.
One of the nicest things our dad has ever said to me as I was having one of those.
Sure.
I don't love my I don't know what to do. Yeah. What do I need? And he admitted like, look, I'm one of the luckiest people on earth because I found what I love to do when I was 24 years old.
Yeah.
And he was like, I recognize that I'm one of the only people apparently in the planet.
Yeah.
That at an early age found what he loves to do and get to do it every day.
Yeah.
It's not uncommon to just hate your life.
I mean, you know,
it leads apparently for some people leads some weird behavior.
Weird,
but
weird question. You phrased it. You're lucky to be joining this church.
Yeah.
Do churches turn people away?
No, I mean, no.
Okay.
They turn people off for sure.
Well, sure. But like,
I mean, lucky from like on a real note, like we were moving to Fort Worth. We knew we were moving. We prayed for a year for. Yeah. Like our main prayer wasn't even like give us a house, like let us find a good place to live or like find a grocery store close by. It was like please provide like a church with where we can plug in, where we can like very easily like use our time and our talents to like give to a healthy church body.
Okay.
And like 3 weeks in, we just stumble upon this church plant that was launching out of a bigger church and just got thrown into like this incredible community with people that sort of span from like in their 30s with young kids to our age. So like moving to a new place, wanting specifically a church community to be heavily involved in, we just got sort of like thrust into that at a very early stage versus like. When churches get really, really big, it becomes harder to like get people to plug in,
right?
To become
part of it,
to make people feel at home, because you're just massive. And that I don't view that as a good or bad thing. It just is a thing versus a church plant where it's like, well, if we just show up on Sundays and don't talk to anybody,
church plant.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It means like it's a church planting. Yeah, I guess I am using vernacular that's foreign to other people and it's normal to me.
So just a church, like
so it's a church, but it's a church plant because they're
because why?
This is hilarious. I've never actually thought of how you explain
this sounds really dumb.
Yeah, so it's a verb. It's a verbiage in the church world to church plant, to go plant a church, meaning we're gonna go somewhere.
And
somewhere can mean a neighborhood, a town, a place, and we are going to plant.
Okay.
Meaning, I think it just means like we're going to grow
right
as a church.
So that I get it. So technically, it's a church seed.
I guess technically speaking, that's more accurate.
Church planted, and you guys are now a church seed.
Well, but also like they have been a seed within this bigger church, like almost like they were a seed was put into soil in a pot in this bigger church, and it was watered.
So they were a church propagation.
I think.
If you're going to use it, you have to use all of it.
Sure. What does propagation mean?
It's what you just described. If you take something from a bigger part and grow that while it's over here.
Well, so then, it was in this pot and they were they grew it to where now it's a plant. Okay. And now they're
it's a church.
And now it is a plant and they're taking it and they're planting
it.
So it's
a church plant.
It's a church plant now. Okay. So it was a church seed.
So what does it become? Just a church.
At some point, it stopped. Some point, the herpology, the science language goes away.
Goes away. At what level is it no
That's
longer?
That's a great question.
Because I want to know.
Because
after it flowers, what does that look like?
We're a church flower.
We're a church flower. We started as a church seed within the other church. We were propagated. Now we're a church plant.
And now we're a church plant. Now we're budding. And
well, if you bud, that would then be other church plants.
True. So is it a church
bud? You would flower,
Flower.
When you grow.
I'm assuming, just being in this community, in this world, it stops being a church plant either when it has its own building.
Okay.
Or when it reaches a certain number, I guess. I would guess.
I'm going to need you to come back to me with that number.
I will come back.
Because I have to know now.
Yeah. Well, I think it's built. I think it's building, not number. I think.
Okay.
But I don't believe the goal is to even have its own building sometimes. Sure. So it's probably a number thing.
Okay.
Or it's a time thing. Maybe a year in, you're a church and not a church plant. Wow. You know, when you think something's just super normal to everyone.
You know how when you think something makes sense and then you talk about it, you're like, wow, that sounds so dumb.
No, it makes sense to me still. Like, this conversation, I'm not walking away like, wow, it's dumb that we use that language. I'm still like, this makes sense, but...
It makes sense on a really weird level.
Well, I mean, it's Christianity. Of course it's weird.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, I mean, like... Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'm with you. I just, like, I like how people love to overcomplicate everything for no reason.
But that doesn't seem... It still doesn't seem complicated to me. It makes perfect sense.
It makes sense because you force it to.
Not because I force it, because just does.
They've created language for no reason.
What would you call... If you were the first person...
Sure.
To be a part of a church and think, let's send like a pastor and his or her family to a new place to start another church. What would you call it?
Church.
You would just be like, go church.
I'd be like, go start a new church.
Huh. All right. And you're not,
and then we would, and then we'd be able to cut out all the,
you're making it sound like Christians are complicated and other people are not. You don't think that.
Oh no. Other people
are
also really complicated. Other people are way more complicated.
Some other language. I'm just pointing out that plant and seed apparently is what we're using.
Yeah.
If another person started there, if we trace this back to the Genesis, it's still a person.
Right.
So it's going to be complicated no matter what.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Other things are also very
just making sure that you're not implying, because it's Christianity,
it's
complicated.
There's no reason it has to be that complicated.
It doesn't seem that complicated, though. If anything, it's very simple, because you're visualizing seed, water, plants, propagate.
Yeah, but I added that. That's not even something you guys talked
so
about.
So you made it more complicated.
Well, yeah, of course.
So you're...
Yeah. How long have you been my brother? I'm always the problem. Always the problem.
I'm not actually calling you a problem right now.
I know.
That was just a funny... I'm just stating my...
I am actually calling that stupid, though, just so we're clear.
Well, I'm sure. I'm just pointing out that if you think that's stupid, you clearly have to think that, like, other weird language, like swingers, are stupid.
Yeah,
have like,
you met me? Of course I think the language is stupid.
Cool. Just making sure that you're fair here.
Howdy, 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 y'all. Normally, we bring you our not sponsors, but today we are excited to talk about an actual sponsor. Hydrate by Good Onya. You can go to goodonyaorganic.com to get Hydrate, which is an all-organic hydration powder supplement. It contains only natural organic ingredients and no sugar at all. It's made of lemon juice, coconut water, stevia, and organic sea minerals. This is the best hydration product I personally have ever used. I take it every single day when I wake up and after my sauna, and I feel incredible. Completely organic ingredients. A good friend of ours introduced us to this, and I can't go a day without it. So get yourself some Good Onya. Get yourself hydrated.
Look, it's not the 1920s anymore. Everybody has a business or a startup of some sort, whether it's a side project, whether you've ditched the silver spoon and are going all in on your side hustle to make it a full-blown business, or you have a small business already, but you've hit a plateau in growth and you're trying to find different ways to turn your marketing dollars into legitimate revenue. Well, Creators Collective is here for you. They are a full-service marketing agency offering marketing, branding, logo design, copy, video, social media management, anything custom to your business or your startup or your side hustle that will help you grow your bottom line, grow your brand reach, and just feel like you have the best dang company ever because your marketing assets are frankly better than everybody else in the game. So what you need to do right now is go to creatorscollective.us and contact them to schedule a call and find how Creators Collective can help you grow your business for the long term. That's Creators Collective. Schedule a call and just grow your freaking business with marketing that freaking works.
There you go. Do you want to hear about our bidet?
Yes, please.
Our Texas
badass of the day.
Who is it? Our Texas bidet of the week is Mason Cox.
That's his real
name. I know. C-O-X. Yeah. Mason Cox. Know the guy? Heard of him?
Is this of Cox
Cable? Well, now you have. So Mason Cox is the only American to ever play professional Aussie rules football, otherwise known as Aussie footy.
Sure.
Not rugby. It's not rugby.
No, it's not.
And it's not football. Mm-mm. It's Aussie rules football.
Yeah.
It is the craziest game I've ever seen because it's played on like a cricket field.
Yeah.
And actual cricket stadiums are massive. They are way bigger than a soccer field.
Mm-hmm.
Players run up to 10 miles in a single game.
Whoa.
And it's a mix of like soccer, basketball, and rugby.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's almost like Quidditch even. And so you can tackle the way you do in rugby. Yeah. You can kick the way you do in soccer, and you can pass the way you do in basketball. So it's just all these grown men, and there's really no rules. Like there's no like, don't hit in the head. No, don't shot people. There's no don'ts. It's just get the ball through the uprights over there. And it's just this crazy, like rugby players are like, that game is crazy. I actually think when we had Mac Mason on, shout out Mac Mason, asked him about footy and he was like,
screw that game.
So Mason Cox, an original citizen of Dallas, Texas.
Is this recent?
It's in the last almost 10 years. Okay. So he's like an established professional star now.
Wow.
But so he's from Dallas, Texas, mm-hmm. and he was 6'10 when he was in the 10th grade. Mm. Almost 7 feet tall.
Wow.
Did not play basketball. Played soccer.
Oh, that's
and there. Funny. There's a guy now that's on the Boston Celtics who might win the finals this year that was at the same high school. I don't know if they were in the same grade, but he was like, we hated him because he's 6'10.
He just wouldn't
what
play.
Other sport are you going to play? And he played soccer. And he also like hadn't grown into his body yet. So he wasn't very good at soccer. He was tall.
Right.
So he was a good target for like a good cross, but
he couldn't,
the coordination wasn't entirely there.
Yeah.
So if
you know anything about soccer, it's a good game for uncoordinated people.
Yeah. Right. And so he ends up going to Oklahoma State University and walks onto the basketball team.
Sure.
Where he ends up guarding Joel Embiid, who was this year's MVP in the NBA, was decent at basketball.
Yeah.
Wasn't going to go play pro or anything like that. Wasn't even a guy that thought, I'll go play in Europe. Like,
right. He just did it.
Walks on because he's 6'10. He did it because he was 6'10
and bored.
And he was like, I don't play soccer anymore, so I guess I'll play basketball.
Yeah.
And so he actually accepted a 6-figure oil and gas job at Exxon. Like, he's wicked smart. Before he starts that, though, the AFL, the Aussie Football League, for the first time ever, they never done this before, it's 2014, sends over scouts to like scout basketball and football players and hold a combine that summer to see like, is there anyone here worth giving a contract to? Cue Mason Cox with his 6'10 frame. Like, wasn't very good, but they were like, he's so tall.
He's 6'10.
We don't have anyone that tall. And he's agile enough. Yeah. And with the soccer experience, he actually wasn't bad at kicking.
Okay.
So that is what separated him. Because most of the guys that they brought in were like basketball players and football players. They're fast, but they can't kick. And kicking is actually a pretty big part of the game. Like, honestly, Mac Mason should try football. well, his foot's kind of messed up.
I was going to say.
He got a stick through his foot. Anyway,
Jamie, roll a clip.
Jamie, roll that. So he does this combine and he gets picked up by the Collingwood Magpies, who are like one of the biggest teams historically in the AFL.
goes over there, makes like is good enough to make the team. Like they believe in this project enough to give him a shot. The next 2 years of his career is a mix of like highlights and blunders because he's just learning the game at a professional level with guys who have grown up playing
the game.
So he's like skying people and catching the ball in these ridiculous ways and making some good kicks, but he's also like own goaling and tackling his own players and dropping the ball when he's not supposed to. Just all this crazy
stuff.
So it's a mix of like love and hate with him because he'll do these incredible things, but then also
and then just immediately get tackled,
fail horrendously. Yeah. But fast forward to now, he's a legitimate like all-star in the AFL.
Nice.
3 years ago, he had his retinas scratched out and was blind for 3 days.
Wow.
Came back
from blindness.
Straight Texas Aussie style.
Dude.
So he's like a solidified AFL superstar.
Yeah.
The funniest thing, though, is his accent has gotten super messed up.
Yeah.
Because I've seen him interview. They did a 60 Minutes piece on him last week. So this is recent.
This is really recent.
And he's talking to the interview and he'll go into this Australian and then come back into Texan in his real Southern draw. And then I'm playing Aussie rules football and it's
like bouncing back.
Dude, this
and
crescendo and day crescendo of Aussie to Southern. It's super weird. Like, it has clearly messed him up.
Yeah.
And what's great is he's playing with Aussie. So they're like, he's fucking around. It's not that. Yeah. Like, they're like, it's not that real accent. He's just putting it on for you guys. Like,
right,
just giving him shit from the get-go. So
I love Australians for that.
I love Australians.
I do too, man.
I just love Australians.
We gotta go to Australia.
They love you. For those who don't know, back when we had a rugby team here in Austin, screw you, freaking rugby league.
Oh my god.
For the Gil Cronies, we would sit with the players' girlfriends, and they would all hit on Seth while their boyfriends played rugby.
And that was the start of me messing with dangerous women.
Fair point. You have a fetish.
I have a thing for women with boyfriends who could kill me.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. Anyway, speaking of accents,
Texas has some great accents.
Texas has some good accents, and people think that it's one accent,
and it is not.
And you know, we did a breakdown of the regions of Texas,
and we perfectly broke down the five regions of Texas.
No debating it.
Nobody had any qualms with it.
Two things on it, really quick. One, we did that segment randomly. We did not plan that.
No.
It was also the end of a batching day.
True.
So honestly, I look at it and like, we could have done that.
We could have done better.
It was a little lazy.
But I'm also like, we were just riffing.
Yeah, we're riffing. The way we broke it up, I agree with.
Yeah.
Austin
would never be the same Dallas.
And it's it would.
If there's a bus getting me here in 2.5 hours and they're both metropolitan areas growing toward each other,
and like, don't ignore the biggest reason. It is the capital. There is a reason.
There's a reason. And it's going to be here.
And so if you got DFW, Austin, San Antonio all in one little thing.
Yeah, it just makes sense.
It makes sense.
Yeah, like whether you like that.
Sorry.
I'm sorry they're all
close to each other.
Get on I-35 and tell me when you see any green pasture between those three cities.
If you want me to break up Texas culturally, we're going to have a lot more regions.
Exactly.
You know?
But if we're just doing geographically.
If we're doing geographically and like things that kind of make sense city-wise.
And
if
we're going Hunger Games style.
And if we're going to go accent-wise, it's pretty clear. You've got North, South, East, West, and there's some nuances within there.
One other thing, really quick, before we get there, some people accused us of copying the Bernie segment where that guy breaks out Texas, and he does it way better.
He
than
does
us,
it way better. Than we do.
We did not have a conversation like, let's copy that Bernie segment.
Well, we didn't even have a conversation about breaking out the regions.
True. Later, we were like, I guess that was kind of like the Bernie thing. So we'll acknowledge that.
So sure, yeah.
I totally know that Fred Armisen did the tour of American accents in his Stand Up for Drummers special that probably five people watched a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We are also not copying that. This is our own thing. JB Sauceda at Texas Humor will probably copy this. That's cool. So... Yeah, I've
You're
dropped
so
journalists.
Salty. You're
I've
so
dropped
salty.
Journalists. I'm just saying. Yeah. Anyway, plus like you know, it's a friendly beef.
It's
thing.
A friendly, yeah, it's a friendly beef.
So Texas accents,
like Bevo, a friendly beef.
Friendly beef. They did used to eat them. Anyway,
just that one time.
Let's start north and we'll work our way kind of like down.
Kinda like down. All right, give me your north. You give me because you have Amarillo family in Amarillo.
Well, so it's Amarillo.
Amarillo.
So if you're up in Amarillo, you're gonna maybe hear an accent, but you're just really gonna hear.
You know. So do Jenny's parents have an Amarillo accent?
Well, so They, it's weird. They don't really have an Amarillo accent, but they do have more of a panhandle. It's very, like, Chuckles is kind of subdued, and it's not Southern, but it's
right. And there's some, like, words, right?
So yeah.
Chuck will be talking. He'll talk about his favorite books.
Yeah, books. And a kolache. They like a good kolache. Yeah, a good. So I'm from Amarillo, where I'm eating a kolache with my book.
The thing about Amarillo is that accent is, like, it's a little longer and a little, like, it's not clipped.
It's long short.
It's long short. Like,
the middle is short. The ends are long.
That'll make sense because we'll talk about some other accents. A lot of Texas accents clip everything.
Yeah. Whereas, like, Amarillo, Panhandle, they sort of, they draw them together.
They draw them together.
Yeah, I'm in Amarillo.
While they're drawing it out.
While they're drawing it out. So I'm out at the pasture with the cows.
And you're going to hear every single word
how it comes together, but also gets drawn out. So I'm in Amarillo with the kolache. But then if I go down to West Texas. See, it's more
clip.
Because we'll get to East Texas, but when you go to West Texas, it's like, a little more like,
it's almost like it's like you're constantly trying to keep your mouth closed. Yeah,
it's almost like
it's so dirty.
It's almost like a Cali girl got her mouth sewed shut. So it's like, because, you know, a Cali, I'm like, you know, but if I'm like, you know, like, it's just, you know,
it's kind of
like West, I'm going to the football game later and think it might be fun. Might watch Hell or High Water.
I'm gonna have you think we're having a good season?
I might have a good season. There's a lot of, it's almost like the lip goes down to the, like, left.
It's very
like
much,
they got a fish hook in West Texas, in their mouth.
It's like the environment has like completely influenced your accent, because it's as though you have a dip in your mouth and you're trying to keep the dirt out of it.
Even if you don't. So, West Texas. It's very, you know, even the pastor, when he's up on the pedestal, he's like, you know, hellfire and damnation.
Hellfire and damnation.
Coming down, you know.
So if you want to do the West Texas, you just kind of keep your teeth kind of closed.
Yeah, keep it closed. Yeah, it's very, and like, move your upper lip and your lower lip to the
separately
side. So West Texas is more right here.
So just kind of like right here.
Kind of right here. And, you know, they open their mouth more.
And people will point out that we do not have accents.
It's
not
true.
Really.
Not really.
There's some words.
Sure.
There's some when you get a little, you know,
lawyer.
Little loose.
I would, when I, back at the place I used to work.
Yonder?
When I say lawyer.
Lawyer.
Apparently, law, it comes out lawyer.
Yeah. Anything that ends in a year, it goes, like, down.
Especially the word year. Is you are.
You are. No, it's Y-E-R.
Yeah. Clearly. And now, so if we go
further,
like, southwest, A.
Hold on. One.
Well, because there is the valley's different than southwest Texas, because it's two different regions that are coming upward.
That's true.
And so, like, you know, you go from West Texas, and then it becomes like, hey, taco, like, it's going to be more of a baseball game, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be more that Dominican, more that, you know, taco and mama.
Totally.
Why are you not joining me on this and making me do this alone?
Because it's funny that way.
I'm very uncomfortable.
Here's a distinction we do have to make, because there's the, Los Angeles Holmes, you know?
Yeah.
That's a very,
it's
like,
not Cholofit Creeper.
It's not Cholofit Creeper.
That's not really a Texas thing,
not
you know?
Really a Texas thing.
Yeah.
It's very much like, Spanish is your first language, not you learned English from Spanish.
From Spanish. It's like, so it's like, it's very more mira aquí, you know?
It's Spanglish. Like, you go to the valley and you get a lot of Spanglish, right?
Well, in the valley, so let's go to the valley.
Mira, sí.
Because again, Southwest,
different.
Mira, sí, taco, aquí. Southwest, you know, it's more of that working class. Like, I don't even know how to do it. Can you, like, the way Mike talks a little bit.
The way Mike talks a little bit.
Go listen to our episode with Mike.
That's the valley accent.
Yeah, it's very stoked, but it's also a little Latin. So
a little bit Latin.
Like, it's just very up front. Whereas, you know, mira, I can't, mira!
Yeah.
Like,
mira, look!
Yeah, mira, look! There it is.
There it is.
Yeah, mira!
Mira, look
right here. We're going to the beach. Whereas, hey, we're going to the beach, you know? Like,
soft spoken.
Southwest Valley. Southwest Valley. I'm from the Southwest. I'm from the Valley!
Oh yeah! It's like, imagine, it's Al Pacino doing his version.
I got a need
of a Spanish Texas.
Got a real need for the Valley. Ho! So
what are we doing?
Yeah, now let's do what we actually know about.
I know, right?
Yeah, right. Just stop appropriating culture. So if we go from West Texas and we start to move east, we're not going into the city.
Nope.
We're going more into Livingston.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
Lufkin, Nacogdoches.
I like a Nacogdoches
accent.
Like,
they're when people make fun of Texas accents, they're really just making fun of East Texas.
They're making fun of that East Texas accent.
It's behind the pine curtain.
You're almost over into.
almost in Alabama.
Louisiana.
Even Arkansas. Yeah, you know, well, I'm from Arkansas. Texarkana, but I'm from the good side.
From
you
the
know?
Good side, you know?
So I'm right here in East Texas, where I might go to Carthage for the day. It's a real pretty place.
And there's Carthage.
You know, it's not pretty. Yeah, it's pretty.
Pretty.
It's a pretty place.
It's a pretty place in East Texas.
Yeah. It's not that...
East Texas is as close as you're going to get to like a Southern accent.
Yeah.
Because it's got none of the grit of the West and the Panhandle.
Yeah. None
all,
at
but,
all.
But it's got all the drawl.
It's got all the
drawl.
When
you think of a drawl, that's what you think of. You think of Piney Woods. You think of Carthage. You know.
I think of great meth. And
great, the best
meth. I think of great meth and wealth disparity at its finest. Because they all sound the same.
They all sound about the same.
This person,
it's like a Jeff Foxworthy imitation.
It's like I'm the principal of the school.
Yeah.
And I got all these kids running around. And when the kid, I'm the kid now. Now I'm the kid. And that principal took my meth. Like they, you know, like there's, why are you laughing so hard?
I don't know. That was really random.
Well, I just tried.
I'm a principal. Now I'm the kid.
Well, because they sound, by the time they're 13, they're really just, and it's not that they're redneck. They're just
locked into the country.
It's just that they're forgotten country. And for more the southern part of the country.
For more the southern part.
You know, like.
Yeah, and everything's really enunciated, and
like,
they're very.
If you sound like this,
you're probably from East Texas.
You're probably from East Texas.
You're probably from East Texas.
Yeah, that's probably.
It's like a higher accent.
Well, and it's Appalachia if it was in Texas.
It's like
in every type of way.
If you're talking like you're from East Texas, you probably are speaking in like your nasal
register.
You're up here.
Where if you go to Houston,
you're more here.
You're from East Texas.
You're from East Texas.
But you've spent some time in Saudi Arabia.
I can't do it, but
we're doing only accents we can really do because it's formed off of our experience. We can't apologize for East Texas into Texas A&M, I got a job at ExxonMobil. And so now, you know, it's not really Amarillo. It's not really East Texas.
It's not West Texas.
It's definitely not West. Because I know how to enunciate, but I don't talk in that high register that my principal did. I'm a professional.
You may even start to hear a little bit less of the y'alls and the what's
less,
and the whatnots.
Less y'alls, more you all
more
are
you
here.
Are.
You are here. You and are, and you all. Are now all here.
You all and are listening to my speech on fundamentals
on the fundamentals
of thermodynamics.
Of thermodynamics. That was a good one because I wake up in Katy and I drive all the way into the inner loop of Houston. Yep. Go Astros.
So think enunciation of East Texas, the
down
we're not in our head
the
voice.
Down register of Panhandle.
Yeah, coming down
with,
a little bit.
With like those things combined.
Yeah.
With a little bit better vocabulary.
Yeah. And then if we move over to Austin.
To Austin.
Austin is just right here, you know? Like it's right in between.
Hey,
we're still not in East Texas and we're not in Houston anymore. We're just in Austin.
Just in Austin, man.
We're here
it's
for the bachelor
time.
Party. It's gonna be great. I love being from West Texas, from Westlake, you know?
Love being like, from Westlake.
I'm from Westlake. I played lacrosse growing up. I love Drew Brees. Not so much Baker Mayfield.
I take the family down to Pete Terry's twice a week.
We go to Pete Terry's all the time.
Matt's El Rancho is one of my favorite places.
I forgot half my memories at Matt's El Rancho. I'm going to go to the lake later.
UT Austin, everybody.
Are y'all going to the lake later? I feel like that's right
y'all
there.
Going to the lake later?
Are y'all going to the lake later?
I'll see you at the lake.
Yeah, I'll see you. We're going to go downtown.
Family's going to go Red Rocks
we're gonna
for
go
service,
to,
then we're going to go
yeah,
to the lake.
Yeah, go to the lake. We might go to SoCo
Maybe,
for brunch.
You know,
we might go to SoCo for brunch.
Y'all remember Hey Cupcake?
Yeah. Is that still around, by the way?
I believe so. There is a trailer over off of the Mueller park.
For sure.
Also, there's also the other Austin accent, if you want it.
Uh-huh.
It's hey man, I just got in from California.
There's also the other Austin accent, which is I just moved here.
well, because that's I can barely do an accent now because we've been doing so many.
Doing it.
Because there's some people
and they're
that,
similar. They're all similar.
I moved here from from up in the Northeast. You know, I'm now from
Walmart,
Austin,
Texas, so everybody's welcome.
So everyone's welcome. You know, everyone's welcome in my family too. You know, we're from Italy. It's a bit of a thing. Anyway, so that is Austin, and then if we moved into DFW, that's where it gets real highfalutin,
man.
It's so I'm from Highland Park.
If we're gonna do the Dallas accent,
you have
to do it like this. Oh, hi y'all, I'm from Dallas. My husband owns a plastic surgery practice.
Everyone from Dallas is just a hot wife.
We're
it's not that I'm a Southern Belle. I just went to SMU.
There you go.
And that's all. Not TCU, SMU.
When I think Dallas, I think, hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all. Howdy. Hey. Hi. Even hi. Am I thinking hi, y'all? I'm going to go to Soul Cycle later. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
But don't forget about the luncheon.
The Dallas accent.
There's a luncheon every day.
As though the Real Housewives are all pastors.
A little bit. Well, the Real Housewives are the pastors' wives, right. So it's going to be great.
There you go.
And also the Cowboys still suck. Anyway, if you go to Fort Worth, it sounds like this.
Yeah, Fort Worth is just normal.
It's great. Panther City, baby, till I die. We also have to get out of here because they're back to back today. So that's right, why I'm also wrapping this up rapidly. Which is your favorite accent?
My favorite accent is probably. The East Texas accent is so fun. It's also easy. It's Jeff Foxworthy.
It's exactly what you think. Welcome back to Texas. We're just here having a good time. We're here having a good old East Texas rip roaring liquid dance time. Brooks and Dunn is my favorite band ever, and we're so glad you came here. Don't forget to go to TexasPod.com. Whether you're in East Texas or not, we got merch there. Go buy some of that. I know we didn't do a San Antonio accents because it probably sounds offensive anyway. So there's that. Make sure to go buy a shirt. Like, subscribe, share. We appreciate y'all so much.
Bye, y'all.